Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 492nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And finally, we're brought to you by the SGPN merch store, 15% off everything when you use promo code PLAYOFFS.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 492, it says on my screen. 492 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to JL's. These people in their YouTube names. JList Wins, I assume is the name. Or it could be JL is Wins. That doesn't really make sense, though. Or it could be JLI Swins. No, I'm going to say it's JList. JL, this goes out to JList Wins. For giving us a nice comment. Thank you everyone for watching our YouTube stuff. They're probably watching this as we speak right now, because this is the regional episode and they tend to do very well on YouTube. That seems to be the niche that we have found there. So thanks for watching. Even if you're not interested in watching us on YouTube, if you could just subscribe to our account with all your YouTube accounts, that would help just to get our numbers up so we can start making YouTube pay us money. All right. Cause we're capitalists here. I'm one half of the capitalists. I would be Jeff Chalks Fox. Today's Monday. No, it is not. Today is a non-UFC week, which means we're doing a regional episode. And like I said, regional episodes are pretty popular. And as added bonus, the man I'm about to introduce is very good at making regional picks. So let's bring him in, and we're going to talk some LFA 175. Hello, Mr. Regional MMA God Gumby Vreeland.
It is the thing that I seem to have held on to the best over the years. You know, we've ebbed and flowed with some things. The regional MMA picks seem to go well. And this is a good LFA card, too. Not that LFA usually gives us anything other than, like, really great cards, but this is LFA in Brazil. LFA seems to be just given bangers every single time they go to Brazil because, you know, like, there's a lot of, you know, there's people we've heard of from, you know, Jungle Fight or Shooto Brazil or, you know, like some of the other promotions down there. But it's pretty rare when one of the bigger organizations from America goes to a place like Brazil, and they do seem to drum up all of the best talent down there. And there's one on this card that I'm absolutely stoked on. So we'll be talking about him gratuitously in a moment.
Oh, he's tipped his hand a bit. It is a he. LFA seems to be the spot to go. Well, it's basically a automatic feeder system to the UFC. You could sign with Bellator. You could sign with the PFLs or other promotions.
Bellator, according to the press conference they had today. They had a press conference today, and I swear to God, they were talking about it like it was a separate entity. And they're like, great when they're going to have the PFL versus Bellator cards, because it's like an all-star game. It's like cross promotion. And it's like, you're the same thing now. Stop this.
Yep.
I don't know why you're... I don't know why they're holding on to this.
I just think UFC thinks more highly of you if you go through a feeder league rather than one of their quote unquote competition leagues. So LFA definitely is feeder league. And like, as Gumby said, they tend to get the best talent. And then when they're in Brazil, they really load the cards up with Brazilian talent. So we will break down this fight card very, very shortly. But of course, speaking of PFL and everything, this goes hand in hand with the big news of the day is it's probably a couple of years past the peak. But Kayla Harrison, the Olympic gold medalist, multiple gold medalists, right?
Two, I think.
Judo gold medals and previously undefeated in MMA until she slipped up two fights ago. She is signed with the UFC, fighting at bantamweight, which she used to be a lightweight. And as Gumby said in the Discord, when she was in the Olympics, she was a welterweight or a middleweight, I guess, technically, if they're because she was 176 or something. So, yeah,
172. Yeah, I went back and looked. Right. I was
welterweight, then we'll say.
Yeah.
She was a welterweight. This is going to be a bantamweight against Holly Holm. Thoughts?
So first of all, I'm going to dispute you in saying this is too soon or too late. Like, this is the late move. I actually think the timing's great. If we had gotten her to the UFC at 2-0 or 3-0 when she was like still raw, like that's when she should have been beating up those gals in the PFL, right? Like that was the right time for her to be doing that. And, you know, I heard some people, you know, my guy Mac in the Discord was talking about how, you know, why would they sign her now? Isn't the shine and luster off of her? You got to remember the UFC is about two things. The USC is about the optics of being able to say that other organization is beneath them, and they're about the money. And the fact that she lost to Larissa Pacheco one time definitely helped them in negotiations. They were like, look, you lost to Pacheco. We can't pay you what we were going to pay you. 1000% help UFC in negotiations. But at the same time, she's beaten Pacheco multiple times. And all of her wins over Pacheco were one-sided. Yes, the last one did not go that way. But anytime somebody's like, oh, our champ beat your champ or whatever, which, by the way, isn't even their champ anymore. Pacheco isn't going to be able to fight in PFL because they got rid of the featherweight division. So anytime they're like, oh, you know, Pacheco beat your gal or your you know, if she does become champ, your champ, they're going to be like, yeah, what is she? What's her career record against her? Because it's not good. So I think the UFC maintains the optics of it. They save a little bit of money. And as far as talking about whether or not she's ready from like a talent standpoint, she's had a couple of those fights in there. She's had the, you know, the Aspen Ladd fight. Aspen Ladd, despite the fact that she sometimes fights with a low fight IQ, is a tough
sometimes
out. Yeah. But like if Kayla Harrison was in the UFC, that was the entry to the top 10, right? That was her entry to the top 10 fight was Aspen Ladd. And she passed it with flying colors. So then she would be perfectly in line for a Holly Holm ass fight. So like, yes, the Pacheco fight is obviously, you know, there's alarm bells and stuff like that. But, you know, you could also make arguments about her motivation. Like, what's your motivation to beat this person again after doing it over and over again? And she didn't. So she's got her prospect loss out of the way. She's fighting Holly Holm now, who just showed she's got some pretty big issues with grappling at this stage of her career. You know, obviously the big elephant in the room is whether or not she can make 35. You know, she's given herself 3 months. In theory, she's probably already been working at it because, you know, she hasn't fought in 2 or 3 months anyway. So like, I think given 5 months, which is the time from her last fight, you know, who knows, you know, she could, We could see a Kayla Harrison come in for weigh-ins and look like she had a body transformation. Because she's not fat, but I just mean like,
no,
she could cut down on her muscle mass. Who knows what she'll look like?
Yeah, for those who haven't seen Kayla Harrison, she is not overweight.
No, she's
jacked. She is jacked. So yeah, who knows if she can get to that weight. Someone posted on Twitter a video of what her new diet is going to be to get to 135, and it was someone like stir-frying ice cubes, and they were pouring pouring water for sauce on top of the ice cubes. Yeah, everything was water in the diet. So yeah, who knows? You like the matchup against Holm? Big name. I think that's she can.
Well, I think we talked about this when we did the bantamweight division breakdown. Is like bantamweight badly is in need of somebody with name value. Because no offense to Cal Pennington, no offense to Myra Buena Silva, like there's just not like a lot of luster behind those names. That's not selling any tickets. It has to be the co-main event on a pay-per-view. And, you know, the other women's divisions could, in theory, headline a pay-per-view, right? Like, Weili Zhang at this point in time could probably headline a pay-per-view. Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko 3 could headline a pay-per-view for sure. Bantamweight can't right now until they find somebody who can. And Kayla Harrison might be that person. So the best way to get her to be that person is to beat somebody with a meaningful name themselves. And right now, like I said before, Holly Holm looked terrible trying to grapple Myra Buena Silva, and Raquel Pennington showed it's not that hard. So that kind of tells you where Holly Holm's at this stage in her career.
But as I just said in the Discord, if Holly Holm wins, we're stuck with Holly Holm in a title fight again.
No. Then we go to Misha Tate.
Oh, right. You're Misha Tate. Yeah. Mac mentioned Jermaine Duran to me, but I'm like, no, the UFC
She just got scheduled for a fight, though.
Yeah, I know. She's coming back, but the UFC is not, after all that Cyborg stuff and refusing to fight her when she's champ. Yeah, UFC is not going to be bending over backwards to do her any favors. But
I don't know. She comes out and starches a couple of women. Like, that.
Maybe.
You'd be surprised.
Mom power? Maybe she has extra mom strength now. She had a baby fairly recently, so you never know.
Yeah.
And Harrison's younger than all these people, too, which is maybe surprising. She's only 33. She seems.
Is that true?
I looked it up. I thought she was older. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
You don't think she is? You think it's a lie?
No, I mean, I believe you. I don't think you're lying about what you read.
Yeah, 1990, July 2nd, 1990. So, yeah, she's just been in the public eye for a while, you know, Olympian and all that jazz. So, I guess the UFC could not get Ronda Rousey, so they maybe got the better version of Ronda Rousey in MMA, perhaps, at this point in their career. Is definitely the better version.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't expect Ronda to come back for UFC 300. Anybody who did was, you know, same with Brock Lesnar or, you know, whoever. I think people were grasping at straws. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is their play to make Bantamweight exciting again. And it will probably go well. And if it doesn't, you know, hey, Holly Holm.
Yep, we always got good old, in case of fire, break glass, and Holly Holm's behind the glass. So, yeah, this is going to be UFC 300 that this fight's going down, if we didn't mention that, April the 13th. So, this card's starting to fill up. It still does not have the top fight's still not there, right? I'm looking over this card.
I think you're going to get an Izzy fight on there. I originally said it was probably going to be Pajeda, but it does look like it will be Dricus now. I really do think we're going to get Dricus Izzy on that card. They're just... You know, Dricus's team is probably playing a little bit of hardball to squeeze a couple of bucks out of there. And they're playing the, oh, we don't know if his eye is going to be ready kind of game. He looked fine. I watched him. He was on Instagram the other day chugging beers harder than I've ever seen any champion chug beers. So
maybe that's why he won't be ready then. Perhaps he won't be ready then.
He was just deleting those things, which it didn't even look like he was swallowing. So, yeah, good for him. He's looking like he's enjoying champ life.
Good champ life, hashtag champ life. All right, enough of the preamble. We're going to get right down to LFA 175 after I tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA. Yes, they have it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some of these spicy plays. Gumby, you have a play for tomorrow? Maybe Joel Embiid over 72 points or something?
I'm gonna go same game. I'll take the in the Sixers versus Pacers game. I will take the lower than on Miles Turner's rebounds, because since they've gotten Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner is the one who's getting issues with his rebounds. I think he's only got 8 over the last 2 games. And he's set up for 6.5, according to the projection here. I don't think he's going to get there. So give me the lower than on Miles Turner's rebounds.
Yeah, he is not getting the boards. I agree with that pick. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And here's the important part to help out our show. When you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, because we're tracking which show gets the most signups. So MMASGPN. Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. I remember to say it this time.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We've had that code for about a week, and every time I've forgotten to say it, because that's what happens when you get old. All right, LFA, we're doing 5 fights, and it's a pretty big fight card, is it not? It has got 14 fights on it. Is there any fighter or fight worth mentioning that we're not going to cover today?
Yeah, there's one right before the fights that we're going to do. So we're doing the top 5 fights on here, but if we had gone one lower, it's not even necessary that I really love the fight, but I really love the fighter. Her name's Lani Silva. Lani Silva, only 21 years old, mean kickboxer. She's already 4-0 in her career. She is fighting a 6-0 prospect on the other side, but nowhere near as polished as she is, in my opinion. She's got, like I said, a long kickboxing record, some really good amateur fights. They've already had her fight some pretty good prospects. She was 1-0 fighting somebody who is 4-0. Like, Lani Silva is, I think she's the real deal, and she'll probably be contender series worthy come fall if they get her 1 or 2 more fights before then, because she'd be like 6-0. That seems like just about the right thing. And you know, with the style of kickboxing she brings, it's a lot of fun. I don't think there'll be a playable line on her, even though she's 4-0 and fighting somebody 6-0, but like, she's a fun one to watch out for on the undercard.
As Gumby alluded to there, no lines are out for this, which is surprising. We were saying this off air. Usually LFA, you can get those lines pretty early, right?
You usually buy, and we're of course recording this on Wednesday and kicking it right out to you guys right away. Usually by Wednesday they're out. So it was kind of surprising to wake up this morning and go digging for them, because I already had my handicaps on the fights, and I was trying to confirm whether or not they make sense, and I didn't find anything. So we're going to play a little bit of a guessing game here, and hopefully it lets you guys know where there is value on the lines too.
Yep. All right. So Gumby told you that was the opener of the fight that he just gave you a brief preview on. That was the opener on the main card. We're going to do the rest of the main card for LFA 175, Lopez versus Brigajau. Brigajau.
Brigajau.
Brigajau.
I think it's Zhao.
Zhao. Brigajau. Brigajau. We don't really have any. We haven't had any Brazilian fans reach out to us about my pronunciations yet. So if you're out there, let us know. We've had Polish ones. We've had other countries.
And they let us know. They let us know you talk about it.
Politely, but yes. All right. So this is Saturday, the 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Here's the best part. It's easy to watch. Prelims are on YouTube. Main card is on UFC Fight Pass. That's good. You don't have to go to dodgy sites or pay-per-view or anything like that. This is going down in the Ginásio do Palvilho in Cajamar, São Paulo, Brazil. And Gumby's not been there. He hasn't been to South America. Neither have I.
Nope.
I know you. All right. We're going to the next card on the main card. Next fight on the main card would be Marco Tulio versus Semi dos Santos. All these fights are Brazil versus Brazil action. I will tell you about dos Santos first. Miota, M-E-I-O-T-A. I don't think I have a translation for that. Do you have a translation for that?
I do not.
Did I even look it up? See, I did the research for this days ago, so now I don't even remember if I even looked it up. We're gonna play some Google searching as I'm talking to you on the air here. No, Miota means Miota in Portuguese and English. All right. Dos Santos, 6-4, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. So he owes us some rounds. At least don't get... Yeah, he owes his rounds. He finishes people too. So this is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight, both via finish. He's not fought since February 2020. So it's 4 years almost. He's been out of action by my math here. He's not lost a fight since May of 2019, which is easy when you haven't fought in almost 4 years. 2 inches taller than Tulio Matuto, M-A-T-U-T-O. And you're not helping me with that either, are you?
I'm not. Nope.
Because it means I don't know what it means either. He is 10-1, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. That would be Tulio. He's been knocked out once. He owes his rounds too. This one's going to decision. They owe us. 1-0 in LFA, 1-0 in contender series. Yeah, he didn't get a contract. He's won 6 straight fights. He's not lost since September 2018. Why didn't Tulio get a contract, Gumby?
He fought Yosri Belaguri, who's a big, 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 tall, lanky kickboxer. And of course, like, if you're going to be Marco Tulio and you're going to fight that big, long, lanky kickboxer, there's a pretty clear style that you have to fight in order to beat a guy like that. And he followed that to a T. You know, he pinned him up against the cage. He made him work for most of that fight. He did score a takedown in the third round that wound up being definitely the clincher on it all. He worked to wear out Belaguri, and he did a really good job of that. And as far as on the feet, like what I can tell you about what I've seen from him is just that it's like, he's smart to stay out of range. Against guys who are taller than him, he stays out of range. Against guys who are blitzing him, he stays out of range. He doesn't do stupid things like clash into exchanges he doesn't need to be in. And Semi Dos Santos is just a fighter who, you know, likes throwing bombs and is trying to get a ton of knockouts. I mean, his record's not good by any stretch of the imagination. And I think Tulio here is the worst kind of matchup for him. He's somebody who won't walk into any of those bombs, will fight the smart fight, will probably wear you down, and then will be willing to exchange with you when you're out of gas and you don't have any bombs left in your arsenal. So Tulio should come in here as a pretty massive favorite, not just because of the record. You know, usually that's one of the things the bookmakers go right on is the record. Tulio's record's way better, so he's already going to be a big favorite. Then you add that he was on Contender Series, and he won on Contender Series. I mean, we're probably talking negative 450, negative 500 on Tulio here, but he is the very clear pick for me.
All right, so Tulio is the pick, and what was the number you said again? Sorry?
I'm probably negative 450. Yeah.
All right. That's not good enough for us. Throw it in a parlay. All right. We're going to move down a weight class, up the fight card. This is a bantamweight fight, 3 5-minute rounds. Apollo Gomez, Vinicius Pires, or Pires.
Purist. I think I probably Pires.
He's the purist. Pires. He's 8-1, 3 submissions. He's been submitted once, 2-0 in LFA. He's won 7 straight fights. He's not lost since April of 2019. Used to fight down at flyweight. He's got an inch of height on Gomez. Deuce de Guara, not an original nickname, and we know what it means, Gumby.
Got a war.
Yeah. Yep. His name's Apollo, though, so it kind of goes. All right. With
isn't Ares the God of War?
Ares it doesn't matter. Apollo sounds good. Yeah, it's true. Davison Figueiredo is, I believe, actually.
That's also true. Yep.
Gomez is 9-1, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted one time. This is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight. Used to fight at flyweight as well. 4 years younger than, I can't remember how you said Perez's Pires. Name. Pires. Go ahead.
Do you know who had an Aries nickname for a minute?
Yes, the Red King.
The Red King?
Yes.
Do you remember what his nickname was before it was the Red King or Aries?
We're talking about Roy McDonald, of course.
We are. In fact.
He made up, like, he gave himself the other ones. Aries and Red King. What was his name before? Wasn't it like a young type of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He was the water boy.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so he's like, I'm going to give myself nicknames that sound cooler than that, right?
Yeah, he's still the water boy to me. Anyway, yeah. let's talk about this fight. I think the odds are going to be real close on this one. I do lean to Pires being just like a slight favorite here. Let's say like negative 140. Because it's a regional fight, you get a little bit more juice on the different side. So you're probably going to see negative 140. You probably barely get plus money on the other side. It might be like plus 110 or plus 100, just because there's usually a much larger gap in these kinds of fights. But I think Pires is also the right play here, too, because what I've seen out of Apollo Gomes is a lot of kicks, particularly early on in the fight. And they're not just like hard low leg kicks like you would probably hope somebody finding range early in a fight would use. You know, the ones that shut off the nerves in your calf. Instead, he throws a lot of like push and teep and oblique and side kicks, mostly just like forcing somebody to fight at a farther range. And the problem with doing that against Pierce is Pierce does a really good job of chaining wrestling attempts together. When he gets you up against the cage, it goes single, double. He's got some nice high body lock stuff. And I really do like his transitions on the mat too. He's like, once he gets you down, he moves between positions very nicely. Gomes himself likes to wrestle, which is kind of weird that he spends so much time early in the fights, like, forcing people to fight at range and then like later on wants his own takedown anyway. But the bottom line is I just don't think he's as good of a wrestler as Pierce. I definitely don't think he's as good at jiu-jitsu. And if he throws any of those kicks out early, I think they're going to get caught and reversed on him. So I like Pierce's abilities to finish a fight on the mat. He did some really nice body lock work to a rear naked choke the last time out. So I think Pierce is probably going to capitalize on those attempts, but even if he doesn't, positionally he'll probably win 2 out of 3 rounds here.
All right, there we go. We're going with favorites to kick off the event. Hopefully Gumby's got, well, we don't know for sure they're gonna be favorites, but hopefully Gumby has some potential dogs for us going forward, because you usually count on him to give us at least one dog, usually more. All right, tell you about some more of our sponsors. Cut. Can't forget to tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers a lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards is you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends and other users. Reminder, Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and legal in 40 states. Head to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets. Craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN. There's that code again. To get 50% off your first month today, start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And of course, last but not least, our merch store, the SGPN merch store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 15% off everything in the store now until the end of the month with the promo code playoffs. See, I almost went with the SGPN promo card. No, this one is playoffs. We're competing against other shows to see who can sell the most and get a bonus. And Gumby and I like money. Our children insist on eating all the time. Well, at least once a day, they insist on eating. Usually more. Usually all day long, they insist on eating. So it's just one long meal. So get some SGPM merch, preferably the MMA Gambling Podcast merch. Gumby, are you wearing any right now? I am not. Do you have a no?
I'm sorry, I'm not.
Yeah. All right. Buy some merch. Don't be like us. Usually we have merch on. Not today. Sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Gumby, your hat. We didn't mention your hat yet. What is on that hat?
It's just a catcher's mask.
This cool. Is like a, and yeah, where's it from, Gumby?
Gumby,
who made it?
Baseballism, which is
baseball website.
It's not the people you want me to get a sponsorship from. No.
Yeah, you should.
Shout out to the Clink Room, though.
They're not going to give us one if you keep giving them free ones. That's the thing. You got to say, hey, I was giving you free ones, but now the freebies are done. Like a drug dealer, Gumby. You give them a little taste, and then they get hooked, and then you have to make them. And then you make them pay for it. All right. Let's move on, shall we? We'll stick with the weight class. We'll stick with bantamweight. 3 5-minute rounds. Move up the card. One fight. Fernando Lorenco.
I think he had it right the second of those four efforts.
I'm going to remember.
Lorenco.
Which one was that? Lorenco. Versus Rafael Pereira. Like I said, bantamweight. So type up Pereira first. Mini Man is the nickname. That's a great nickname. I've never been called that. and neither of you, I take it.
I don't know. I was pretty short for a while.
Were you?
Yeah, I started high school.
Spurt?
I started high school at 5 foot tall. And ended
really?
Ended it at 6'3".
Wowzers. Wow. A spurt. See, all that homeschooling. It stunted your growth.
That's it, man.
Once you got the fresh air of the real world. Then
they let me outside and I grew. It's like a goldfish. They grow in the size of their container.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. All right, this mini man, Pereira, he's 10-4. Three knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his LFA debut. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since December 2018. He used to fight down at flyweight and up at featherweight, 4-1 in pro Muay Thai, and he's 3 years younger than Lorenko Ben 10 is the nickname. Gumby,
that's a cartoon, kid's cartoon,
is it?
Yeah,
is that what he's named after?
I mean, Ben 10 seems oddly specific for if it isn't a children's cartoon.
It seems rather specific. Why isn't anyone's nickname Caillou? Wouldn't that be a good nickname?
I don't think so. No, unless they were like a weird bald baby.
That whines about everything, man. That kid just whines and whines. Yeah, Ben 10, I see it is a show. Huh, interesting. Yeah,
look at that. Now you
came something. Along. Okay, it's been around since 2005. I was going to say it came along since my kids were old, but no, it has not. It came along before I even had kids, barely. All right, Ben 10. This Ben 10 is a Renko. He probably was a little kid when it came out, actually. 17-3 is his record. He's got 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once, so he's been finishing all his fights, which means what, Gumby?
He owes his rounds.
He owes his rounds. He hasn't finished a lot of people, though, so it's kind of up in the air if he owes his rounds. He needs to survive longer is what he needs to do. One known LFA, he's won 11 straight fights. 2 straight via finish. He's not lost since April 2018. So he's been busy since April 2018. 11 fights since then. He's fought at featherweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Congrats. Get the shirt. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. Code playoffs. 15% off. He's 4 inches taller than Pereira. Imagine someone being taller than the mini man.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I think Lorenko is going to come in here as a massive favorite. You know, both the 11 fight win streak you mentioned, you know, 20 fights being on his record, the fact that he's actually fought in LFA before. I mean, I think you're going to see him at like -350, probably like a +300, +275 return on Pajeda. And I actually think this is going to be one of the best dog spots you see in regional MMA for some time. I went and watched Pajeda cause I'd never heard of him. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you going into this fight, when I saw Lorenko's name on the fight card, I was excited. I really enjoy watching Lorenko a lot. I thought I was going to be all over him here because his grappling is incredible. He's not the best at getting the fight to the mat. In fact, a lot of his grappling is like somebody trying to take him down and him reversing the position and winding up in a good spot. But like this is such a weird thing to point out, but like his leg dexterity is so good. Like if he's got your back even a little tiny bit, he will find a way to get the far side hook in. It's just because he's got like hands for feet when he's on the mat, and it's really, really, really impressive stuff. I think the problem here for me though is he is going to be wildly outmatched on the feet. Pajeda, who, like I said before, knew nothing about him, was just all in on Lorenko. I was like, sweet, can't wait to pick him again. He'll probably be a huge favorite, but I can't wait to pick him again. And then I watched Pajeda fight, and I'm like, this dude is going to be 30 times faster than Lorenko on the feet. He's got nice power. It seems like maybe he's not the best in the world on the mat, but it seems like he's good enough at stalling out and getting back to his feet here. And as long as he doesn't give up his back stupidly on the time they go to the mat, he'll be fine. And that's if Lorenko can get it there. Because as I mentioned, don't love his offensive wrestling. And he's going to have to step into short range with a guy with tons of Muay Thai experience, throws nice knees. I mean, again, he's just so fast. Is Pajeda. There's so much I like about this guy who I had just discovered. And really, I think, again, probably we're talking about like 3-1 underdog here. I think it's going to be the best spot on the card you can find.
All right. Boom. Mini man. I'm interested in seeing this mini man fight now. Gumby, I'm all in.
If you think he's a mini man too, wait until our show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We have.
There's a very mini man.
Short king. Show tomorrow. Hey, wait a minute. You're not into short kings anymore, I thought. No, this is a guy. You're not into short queen. No, wait a minute.
He's
short
a guy. Kings.
Okay.
So it's short kings.
Kings are okay. Queens are not, right?
Short queens are okay. Yeah, I like short queens. I just don't like short kings. And he's right, like, short. He's short, but is he that short? He's not short like the guy we're going to talk about tomorrow.
No, no. The other guy made made Prince look tall, that, the guy tomorrow. All right, let's go to, are we going to the main event already, Gumby?
No.
Co-main event, lightweights. 3 5-minute rounds. Anderson Fajea versus Samuel Silva. Mr. Silva, Caviera, Cave, and then IRA. Caviera. Do you know what that means?
No, not at all.
It means skull, Gumby. You got to bone up on your Portuguese.
Was that a dad joke? Bone up on for skull?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a, yes, it was on purpose. It was on purpose, of course. That is a good joke by me. See, I'm funny even when I don't want to be funny. I know lots of Portuguese now after listening to the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. I learned all my.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a Portuguese language interview on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. You can enjoy that. It's really good.
Bruno and Brazil.
Great translator, Bruno. By the way.
Yes, great translator. Caio Bahio. I assume he was wearing glasses. Were they both wearing glasses? Because
they were, sadly. You'll actually, the video will come out later. And no glasses out of them, unfortunately.
Oh, too bad. Good interview regardless. And we're still on the Bruno Brazil train, right? We got off, but I think we're back on, right?
Yeah, she looked good against Sean O'Bannon.
Yes, exactly. All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Skull. The skull guy. Silva is 11-4-1. 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. At 1-0 in LFA, he's won 3 straight, and he's gone 8-0-1 over his last 9. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. 6 years younger than Fajea. Fajea Buzica is the nickname. That doesn't translate to anything. We'll say it's Bazooka. Okay?
I like it.
Sound good?
I like it.
Buzica is 18-4, 16 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice. 2-0 in LFA. He's won 4 straight, 3 straight via finish. He's not lost since November 2020. We got a lot of people on long winning streaks on this event. Used to fight at featherweight, was a regional champion in 2012 as his pro MMA debut.
Anderson Fajeda, first of all, could not be a bigger fan of this dude for 2 reasons. Number one, wicked exciting to watch fight. Definitely a UFC prospect in the future. Number
wicked
two,
awesome.
No, number two, I cashed him at plus 300. It will be 364 days before this event. I went back and looked at my spreadsheet. We had him in his LFA debut at plus 300. Nobody had heard of him. Again, they like to list the guys who have fought in the LFA a little bit higher than the newbies. He was a newbie. Mm-hmm. Knocked the dude out in the first round at plus 300. Never forget a guy like that. And it's because he's dynamite with the hands. He's got like really nice step in hooks, closes the distance and, you know, rips to the body and eventually throws that one up over the shoulder. His left back leg kick to the body is one of the most ferocious things I've ever seen. I can't find clips of him knocking people out with it. But like, dude, this dude's got to have a bunch of liver kick knockouts on the regional scene that I just can't find, because like he throws that kick to the body on that side, and it, dude, it looks so freaking hard. I don't know how everybody takes it. I'm guessing he's going to be negative 250 here. You know, you're probably going to get plus 210 on the return if you do like Samuel Silva. I will say in general, I just don't like Samuel Silva. He throws he likes throwing a low leg kick. When he does, his hands vacate his face, which is just like, you know, that's a nightmare if you're fighting anybody with knockout power, especially somebody with a step in hook. I honestly think this fight ends probably 2 minutes in when Anderson Fajeda decides he's going to walk through one of these low leg kicks and hit one of his step in hooks. That step in hook will land. He'll go to sleep and we'll call this a day at like 2 minutes and 15 seconds in. And you can have Anderson Fajeda probably as a, you know, 2.5-1 favorite here, but probably still well worth it.
Another very specific 2.5 minutes in, you said?
I said 2:15. So
just
make sure you mark that appropriately, because if he scores a knockout at 2:15, we're gonna clip this out, post it on every single social media site we can find. And yeah.
The 250 was the line. That's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah. 215 for his kick.
Yeah, no, no, yeah. That's how I got it mixed up here. All right. Fajea and Gumby is very specific too about when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. So we'll look forward to seeing that, Gumby. All right, to the main event. This is not 3 5-minute rounds. This is for the LFA Light Heavyweight Championship of the World. 5 5-minute rounds, 205 pounds. Bruno Lopez versus Marcos Brigau. I can't remember what we said. Brigau. He is the challenger. Brigau. His nickname is Ironside. 17-6, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. I guess that sounds like a 70s detective show, don't you think?
Brigade Zhao?
No, Ironside.
Oh, Ironside.
Not Brigade. Yeah. Maybe in Portugal. Brigade Zhao.
I don't know anything about those shows, right. But I don't ever heard of a show called Brigade Zhao.
Brigade Zhao, 17-6, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. LFA debut, and he's walking right into a title fight. 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight. 0-1 on Contender Series. Who do you lose to, Gumby? Do we remember this?
Brigade Zhao lost to. Give me a second to think about that. I don't know off the top of my head. I'll put the intern on it.
3 years younger than Lopez, 2 inches shorter. Oh, taller, excuse me. Bernal. Bernal is Lopez's nickname. 11-1, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He owes his rounds. 5 minute rounds. He owes us 2-0 on LFA and is the current champion. He lost the Contender Series as well, so Gummy's going to tell us who he lost to also. Won his lost that fight via TKO. That was his last fight. Used to fight at welterweight 2013, was the pro MMA debut. Lucky he did not give up his belt because he lost the Contender Series and he's back in the LFA.
So Lopez lost to, I do remember that one. That was Brenson Ribeiro, who hasn't debuted yet, but I think is fighting right around the corner. Brigade Zhao lost. The reason I didn't remember it is he was the first of two people to lose to Jamal Pogues on the Contender Series. So he's the one who lost like all the way back in like, you know, 2019 or 2020 or whatever it was when Pogues first won, didn't win his contract. And then wound up back in the UFC. So that was Brigade Zhao. But I think Lopez is going to be a big favorite here. I think you'll probably see -275 next to his name. Again, +230 maybe on the return for Brigade Zhao. And I think it's all favorite here for me. Lopez, you know, I don't think he's a particularly great UFC prospect should he get another crack at the Contender Series because of the way he rushes in with punches and seems to have no defense for his face. I mean, that's why Brenson Ribeiro, you know, put him away with a pretty mean shot and then some follow-up hammer fists. I just don't think he is well enough rounded in both offensive and defensive grappling to do that. But the thing is he does throw big bombs and he comes forward and he closes the distance well. And when you look at Brigade Zhao, like Brigade Zhao is very tall and he stands tall. He maybe doesn't do like tall guy defense stuff when he leans away, but he's got other issues with his defense. Like I've seen people rush him and pretty much what he does is he just covers up and waits for it to stop. And you do that against Bruno Lopez and like, he's probably going to rip you once hard enough that like he'll at least knock you off balance, even if he's hitting your arms. And the other thing he does is when he himself wants to move forward, he sort of just like crudely crashes into like a clinch and like doesn't seem to be playing really good defense when he does that. So I think Lopez is probably going to land something here, whether it's worth the, you know, if he's in the net high 200s, I think there's enough variability in this fight that I probably am not interested in Lopez at -275. If he starts getting near the low 200s or if he does squeak into the 100s, I think Lopez could be worth a play there. But like as he nears 300, I just think, with the variability of light heavyweight in general, then the fact that Bruno Lopez is kind of, you know, swanging and banging, and like, I don't know necessarily that there's a good play there at that kind of price. So I'd either wait for it to come down or hope he's in the 100s here.
All righty. So there you go. Hopefully we get odds for this very soon and you can get in the Discord and we can make adjustments if we need to any of these picks. All right. Lopez, I'll give you all his picks. Again, he being Gumby, Lopez, Fajea, Pajea. I already forgot again.
Just give me
Perez. Perez. No, it's Pyers. I can't remember how you say it. I already forgot. You told me how many times and I already forgot.
Just go with it.
Pires and Tulio. One thing I didn't forget, short queens are okay in Gumby's book.
Short queens are fine.
I remember the important things. All right. Thank you for coming to the show. Hopefully the show was okay for you as well. As I mentioned, the Discord is a place to be, to chat with us or say hi or lurk. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And same handle on Instagram. Obviously, our YouTube channel, MMA Gambling Podcast. Give us a follow at the very least, even if you prefer to listen rather than to watch on YouTube. Money MMA, Gumby.substack.com is the place for all my writing and my pick'em contests and all the stuff I do in MMA is there. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast, which I alluded to already. Very good episode again this week. Bruno Brazil and Blake Builder. I remembered because they're both BBs.
That's correct.
There you go. So listen to that. You don't have to listen to me that way. And then sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code there. What else? sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And if you sign up for Underdog Fantasy, MMA SGPN, of course, is the code. Just sign up. Help us brothers out here. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to cover the biggest promotion in the whole wide world of all time tomorrow on our episode. It'll be me, Jeff Skullfox, and Ben Tan Gumby Vreeland will be riding shotgun, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.